Hello, this is Sue Boyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm here with our Chair, Emmanuel Faber, recording this in Frankfurt following our March Board Week. So Emmanuel, it's been a busy few weeks since the team was in New York for the symposium in February. So what's been keeping us all busy since then?
Well, hi Sue, good to have you back, and it's great to all be here in Frankfurt for this week of board. So currently, I think the team is really focused in a number of key areas that we've already highlighting. First of all, we are full steam ahead with the implementation support, and that took a step forward this week with our first transition implementation group meeting. We also continue to discuss our next two-year work plan following our consultation last year, which I'm sure we'll discuss later in this podcast. And we are working with jurisdictions around the world as they look to adopt or otherwise use our first two standards, in particular after the launch of the preview of that document, the jurisdictional guide, in New York last month. But maybe, Sue, you can share some of the positive developments also towards adoption that we've seen recently.
Sure. So we continue to see, you know, a lot of activity around the world as jurisdictions continue to respond to IOSCO's endorsement decision and encouragement to use our standards back in July last year. Most recently, Canada announced just this week that they have launched their consultation on proposals, which is open until the 10th of June. And these proposals are significantly based on the ISSB standards with a few brief extensions to effective dates and transitional reliefs, but great to see really close alignment with our requirements there. In Singapore, they're proposing changes to their listing rules for listed companies there to base their climate disclosure requirements on our standards. And in Malaysia, they have an open consultation which ends on the 21st of March, which sets out a proposed phased-in approach to adoption of our standards. And in the consultation document, they set out why they're proposing this, including the perceived benefits of foreign direct investment. And of course, the world's largest capital market just announced their climate-related disclosure requirements this month. And perhaps, Emmanuel, a few reflections on the SEC ruling.
Yeah, of course, you and it's obviously one of the biggest topics probably in our space in the recent weeks. And what I can share is only preliminary. It's an 800-page document, and I think it certainly deserves more than a few words. However, where I think I would be, and that's probably more even a personal observation than anything so much institutional, is at this stage, my feeling, talking to all the jurisdictions you just mentioned, is that the fact that a climate disclosure requirement being made final in the world's largest capital market is an important milestone in the establishment of disclosures on those topics around the world. At least the initial analysis of that rule indicates actually more similarities with ISSB standards than in many ways the draft rule was suggesting. The elephant in the room is of course the fact that there is no scope 3, but who would have realistically expected that scope 3 would be there after the last 2 years of intense comments made around the SEC about scope 3. So no one is really surprised by where on that particular point the SEC is. I think more interestingly, those similarities I was just mentioning with our approach include the fact that the confirmed investor focus is now also with a consideration of materiality from their perspective, which is useful connection to and with our standards. The way the information about climate-related risks and certain current effect financial effects are referred to. The pretty strong conversation of the rule around the TCFD architecture of governance, strategy, risk management, metrics and targets. The scope 1 and 2 disclosure requirements and related information about measurement approach, inputs and assumptions, which is very similar to our own approach on those particular very important metrics and disclosures. and as well as the aspects of carbon offset disclosure requirements. I think interestingly too, the SEC rule was highlighting that nearly 80% of the Russell 1000 companies align with the SASB standards, and 50% with the TCFD recommendations, which obviously we are pretty close to both, given where we are at ISSB with the legacy of those standards and frameworks. I think probably, for me at least, not you know, totally expected, one was the very clear reference that the SEC is making about the notion of alternative compliance being granted to the ISSB standards. I noted that the rule is describing our work, describing the number of jurisdictions that are considering our work, and the fact that companies that may be subject to other requirements around the world may and have asked for granting alternative reporting regime to the use of ISSB standards, and the SEC is concluding that at this time, to use their words, they declined to grant that status on the basis that the standards are still very new, they're effective from only 3 months ago, and there is no jurisdiction that today has yet used those standards effectively. I think it's you know, it paves a way for conversations around those topics as we continue to establish through the jurisdictional progress that you described yourself, Sue, in those important jurisdictions most recently, like Canada, of course, for the US. You mentioned Singapore and Malaysia, but we know there are so many others as well, like in total about 15 of them, representing significant market capitalization outside of the US. And so I really felt that it was very much encouraging the strategy that we've been describing and discussing with our stakeholders in New York last month about basically for corporates in the US that have international ramifications in particular using the ISSB standards and voluntarily adding to the disclosures of the SEC on climate with our own additional disclosures is a no-regret option to provide a passport that will be useful with the CSRD in Europe, but with Japan most likely, with Canada, Brazil, and many others. So, you know, that I think is certainly something that will need a lot of follow-up discussions. There will be developments, but I really found it quite an interesting rule. And again, just to conclude, I think very significant that there is now a climate rule in the largest capital market. This week, we've also met representatives of other jurisdictions through our Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum, and maybe, Sue, you could provide some additional color to what's happening beyond the US and the others you mentioned before.
Sure. So firstly, maybe a quick reminder of who the Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum, or SAF, actually is, given we've got lots of acronyms and lots of different advisory groups. This is one of our advisory groups, which comprises those closely involved with standard setting, including national standard setters, also GRI, and also some regulators, including, for example, the European Commission and the SEC, who are observers to that group. And this group's role is to provide us with input on our technical work, so the most technical of our advisory groups from a standard setting perspective. What was interesting in the discussion we had on Monday, which is available, it's a public discussion, so there's a recording available on our website, was a clear message that companies are progressing at different paces and from different starting points around the world. And so this is a really good forum for understanding a really broad range of national and regional perspectives and advancements to make sure that we are aware of those in our standard setting work. So, for example, we got really clear messages about how important it is to really balance the perspective of jurisdictions who are keen to move forward quickly, those who are really pushing for us to build out our standards and the range of topics that we cover, and those who really said, you know, we've got a lot to do just getting S1 and S2 done, so they're really much more cautious in terms of how quickly we move forward. So it was a really good live example of what we need to really try and balance in our work. We also heard how important it would be to consider the work that we do to enhance our industry-based SASB standards in the context particularly of sector-based work of other standard setters that are in their early stages. So it was interesting to hear comments both from GRI and EFRAG on the importance of interoperability of our work there. And also a really practical point came up at a few times during the discussion, just how important it is that the materials that we have are translated into different languages, which is an area where, frankly, we're really grateful to the people around the table for their partnership and many of the organisations around the world that enable us to do that, to communicate our work in a number of languages. So that was a good practical reminder. If I look forward to what I would expect from this advisory group in the future, I think our stakeholders can expect them to be increasingly involved in really specific technical input as we move on to our new work plan, and I'm really looking forward to engaging with that group. But of course, at the core of this meeting this week here in Frankfurt, Emmanuel, was our actual ISSB meeting that we had on Wednesday, where we had a good discussion about the strategic direction and the balance of our activities based on the feedback on our agenda consultation. And maybe you could tell us what your takeaways were from that and what we decided.
Yeah, sure. I you know, I was really looking forward to that conversation with the board and the decision we'd make. As I commented on that day, that for me is the real first substantive conversation that we're having and decision that we're making about the next agenda of work. The last 6 months really has been a month of preparation for this re-deliberation, setting the criteria and so many other things. We indeed had, I think, a very fundamental conversation about how we would balance the overall strategic direction and the various activities. So my personal takeaway would be, first of all, I think we agreed on the set of activities to be included in our next 2-year work plan unanimously. That would encompass the relative level of focus placed on each of these activities, with the highest level of focus being on supporting the implementation of S1 and S2. And I think it, of course, echoes what you just said about the Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum, that those conversations that took place. Then the next equal focus would be put on work to enhance the SASB standards, which play an important role in S1 and will strengthen its application and implementation, and on beginning new research and standard setting projects. So I think that is a next very important chunk of equally important activities after the direct support to the implementation of S1 and S2. And we finally also agreed to reserve some capacity so that we have flexibility to address emerging issues and to engage with and work with the IASB on any of its projects or activities when needed, as connectivity is of course fundamental for us. We also identified, I think, 3 activities that are transversal to what I just said in terms of priorities. The first is interoperability, which at the previous board meeting in New York last month, we elected to put as one of the criteria for what we do. And interoperability with other standard setters, in particular, you mentioned EFRAG and GRI, the USCC now coming as well, to maximize the clarity and comparability of information and avoid unnecessary reporting burden. The second aspect I mentioned is connectivity with our sister board, the IASB, to again facilitate a coherent and comprehensive system of general purpose financial reporting and standards that work well together. Because then again, we believe that the unique selling proposition of our work is this connection with the financial statement in a language that drives investor decisions on capital allocation. And the third is stakeholder engagement to promote the global use of the standards and obtain input for the development of high quality requirements. So So of course, all of this work is interrelated, so we would not be assigning distinct capacity percentages to each activity. But I really found that both the paper prepared by staff, which was a super high quality, but also the debate that we had, the discussion, and the unanimous vote in favor of those topics, for me, is really a very strong foundation now to go into the details on how we build our agenda, as we will discuss in the next couple of months with the board. And as we advance our support for implementation as being the very first of these priorities, I mentioned earlier that tomorrow will be an important milestone with the first meeting of the transition implementation group, and maybe Sue, you can let us know a little bit of what this group will be talking about.
Sure. So another group in our ecosystem here, the Transition Implementation Group. So we had the inaugural meeting of this group actually late last year, which was an opportunity to, you know, really introduce ourselves to one another and talk about the overall objectives of this group. And this will be the first substantive discussion undertaken by the group this week. The role of this group is really to help companies around the world as they're applying our standards to make sure that they understand the requirements well and we've got a good basis for high quality, consistent application. So this group is going to discuss real world issues, if you like, that are being encountered by companies as they use our standards around the world, which are primarily sourced from people actually submitting questions via our website. Or where we're hearing questions coming up when we're reaching out and talking to our stakeholders around the world. So this is, you know, designed to really be responsive to the needs that we're seeing emerging in the market. And this is a really core part of our work to support the implementation of S1 and S2. So it's a public discussion and there'll be minutes at the end of the meeting which are designed to really help people as a reference as they work to apply our standards. So this week we will discuss two questions and we will share feedback on it in due course, but I just thought it would be useful maybe to highlight one of the questions that we're going to discuss as an example of the sorts of things that we'll talk about in this group. So the first question that we're going to discuss is an application question we've got about one of the paragraphs in IFRS S2 where we've been asked by about what the terms business activities and vulnerable mean in the standard. And these are terms that we use in one of the very particular disclosure requirements in S2, where we ask companies to provide information about their exposures to climate-related transition risks and climate-related physical risks. And in this paper we're going to discuss at the meeting, the paper discusses how companies can use the standard and its related materials, such as the basis for conclusions and the accompanying guidance, to help them when they apply the requirements to understand what we mean by business activities and vulnerable, and how important the concept of information that is material to investor decision making is to just totally underpin everything you think about when you apply the requirements in the standard. So I'm hoping that will be an interesting and a really important discussion to set the scene for how to think about applying our standards. It's a vital group for us to hear more about just how companies are applying the standards and the questions and to really provide guidance to the market. So really be sure to watch out for either the discussions on our website, you can watch us live or the recording afterwards, and we'll have summary forms of the information as well for different ways to get access to what we talk about following the meeting.
Thank you, Sue. And yeah, good luck with that meeting. I'm really excited that we're going to have that meeting tomorrow. And if I may just, as a segue as well, another very important aspect in the way we support our standards is the progress that we're making with our taxonomy, on which we've been working last month as well. Can you tell us what's latest on this?
Sure. Yes. Yeah, so we're on track to publish our digital taxonomy next month. So the staff have been busy finalising this taxonomy based on the feedback we received following our consultation last year and the subsequent discussions and decisions the board has made in response to that feedback in November and December last year. And listeners might remember that we committed to enabling digital consumption of the information provided from our standards when our standards are first applied, and so we're really delighted to be meeting this deadline thanks to some really hard work of our staff and also stakeholders who have been engaged in this process, including particularly our IFRS taxonomy consultative group. Big thank you to those of you listening, which is another example of a group that provides advice both to the IASB and the ISSB on this occasion to really make sure we understand the important feedback that we receive. The staff are also busy, in addition to finalising the actual formal taxonomy document itself, updating an existing guide for regulators and other stakeholders that are responsible for actually implementing and using the IFRS digital taxonomies, and providing an introductory article on the role and importance of digital financial reporting. So watch the digital reporting space. So that brings us up to speed with what we have been busy working on. Emmanuel, what does the rest of your month look like?
Thank you, Sue. Well, I think it looks pretty busy, as probably for all of us, and in particular, I think many of us are taking really time to be in the jurisdictions, speaking to our stakeholders, regulators, etc., as more and more are considering the use of our standards. So I'll be in Africa, mostly till the end of the month. I'll be in Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa. Both Nigeria and Kenya have already signaled their early commitment to adoption of the ISSB standards. In particular, Nigeria has published its roadmap for adoption, the consultation of which closed actually this week. So I really look forward with our colleague Ndidi to engaging with stakeholders on these plans and how we can support through capacity building. In Kenya, I really look forward to participating in an event hosted by the Institute of Certified Public Accountants of Kenya to meet with CEOs, representatives from stock exchanges, accounting authorities, and preparers to discuss the implementation of the ISSB standards in Kenya and the benefits of the ISSB standards in unlocking capital flows of companies. We actually also have some meetings booked in both countries with government level authorities to pave the way to how those jurisdictions can really make advantage of the use of our standards. South Africa is a very special place for us. It has a rich history through leading the introduction of integrated reporting, which when I was a CEO, I piloted in 2013. And I look forward to discussing with stakeholders how we embedded concepts from the integrated reporting framework into the objective of S1 and how the ISSB standards can also help in South Africa. So it will be an intense week within these three countries. I'm really thrilled to be back to Africa after a couple of years without having been there really personally. And with that, I will close the month, for me at least. And maybe I'll close this podcast too by, saying to everyone, we'll be back as a full board in Frankfurt in 1 month from now to continue our work plan discussions. We will be talking about which particular new topics to look at for our standard setting research and work. And I really look forward to updating everyone on the decisions next month. So stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.